Last I saw you was on a computer screen looking at a menu. Welcome. Turn your Bibles to the book of Psalms. We're going to go through the book of, not the book of Psalms. That'd be horrible, right? We're going to go through all of them right now, one at a time. Go to Psalm 46. We'll skip ahead. Psalm 46, as we get ready to look at things today, as we're getting into the holiday spirit, so to speak. Who's got a Christmas tree? Anybody? Good job. Is it what you hope? Well, if you've had one, we were blessed for a lot of years. When you have like a fake tree, it always is going to look the same. My poor wife, we went out, we hunted for a tree with my family, and we cut it off, and it looked beautiful. The problem is it was like 9 feet tall. And so when I took off enough to get there, most of the full, really neat part was towards the bottom. And so that poor thing, I watched her just about cry when she came in and saw the horrible job. See, when I butcher the boys' haircuts, it'll grow. When you cut the Christmas tree, it don't. So we have a Charlie Brown Christmas tree at our house, and she's learned to accept. What's that? A Christmas bush. Yeah, it's a little, it's sad. But you know what? Praise God, because we're celebrating Jesus, right? Everything, even that tree, the evergreen, points to Him, that it's always in season, right? And we as Christians are always in season, or we should be. Hopefully not like Christian season, right? Rabbit season, duck season, fire. But we know that right now, it is always a time to celebrate our Lord, to praise Him, to worship Him, and to remember His goodness. And I want to look at the providence today of God, and how He's patiently waiting on the providence or provision of our sovereign God. Anybody else ever had to wait on God for something? Or so we felt, right? That we're waiting on something for God to do. But isn't He faithful to do it? How many people in the Word of God have we read through that had to be patient? I'd say just about everybody, right? It seems there's so many things we cry out to God and we're waiting for, but yet we trust His provision, His timing and circumstances. You see, last week we were praying in Matthew 5 and remembering that Jesus says, right, that God causes the sun to shine on the righteous and the unrighteous, the good and the bad. The rain as well is going to fall to grow their crops, to bless, to nourish. It's still there. He's the God who provides. And Jesus says, if you want to love like God does, you don't just love people that love you. You don't just love people who are nice to you. Right? You don't just give Christmas gifts. You ever try to give a Christmas gift to someone who doesn't like you? And you're wondering, will they take offense to this? Will they read into this? Anybody ever do that? You're like, oh, wow. You're like, this person is sensitive. How do I bless them without offending in some ways, right? That can be hard sometimes. But you know, in the end, there's a good thing to do. And we want to do that. And God sometimes, how often has God blessed others and sometimes they've taken offense? I don't know about you guys, but God has done many good things in my life that at the time I thought was a curse, right? I'm like, oh, this is going to be horrible. And yet He works it out. And I trust in the provision, the providence of God, that He knows exactly what I need, when I need it. And I need to learn how to be faithful. And trusting that God knows my needs. It's a picture of Scripture time and time again, in which we have been set up for and blessed with so many things. Think about people in Scripture that had to wait for things, right? Adam and Eve had it pretty good, right? But yet they were also the first parents to taste, and if you've ever been there, the loss of a child, that's got to be pretty hard. But then there was hope. Seth, another son who might bear the line, so that one day the stomper on that serpent's head is going to come about. That was a weak stomp. I didn't even feel that. That's a little better. Nothing like Jesus' stomp on Satan's head. But there were people who had to wait, right? How about Noah? You know, his name probably means rest and waiting. Anybody else ever been commissioned by God to build a wooden cruise ship? Let's be honest. As far as we know, the world didn't see ships like that for another, 4,000 years. Anybody else have a big job to do? Your name means rest, but here, I'm going to send you on the biggest construction thing ever. Go and do. How long did it take him to build that boat? 120 years. Anybody else ever had a 120-year side project? You ever think about, you know, Noah going to his wife, "Sorry, honey, God told me I've got to build the boat," right? I know a lot of you husbands may have told, you know, your wives that, "Oh, God wants me to work on the boat today." But yet waiting and building an enormous boat on dry land. Anybody else ever been considered crazy? Maybe just me? And so he says these things, but waiting and hoping for rest, because building a boat that big doesn't sound restful, does it? It sounds like hard work. Aren't you glad, though, that God did the hard parts? You think it would have been funny for Noah? He's like, "Okay, here's the list of all the species I want you to gather. Go get them." Anybody else ever try to herd cats? Can you imagine trying to get everything? Two of the fruit flies, you know, he's like, "I'm sorry, those are two males. Ah! Got to go back and try to get them," right? No, but God does a lot, so much of this hard part. But I want us to look at a piece of this scripture together. Let's start by reading in Psalm 46, and we'll just read verses 1 to 3. It's a reminder of God's providence, His provision to us. God is our refuge and strength. Anybody else want to say that? Say refuge. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. That's right. How many of y'all know God's present? That was a weak yeah. Sometimes it doesn't seem like it, does it? I know. Don't worry, sister. I don't mean to put anybody down. I know that. We recognize it intellectually, but do we often feel alone? I wonder, God showed up to Noah in Scripture in a big way, right? We know the Bill Cosby jokes, but we know God is speaking to Noah, "Do this, build the ship. It's going to be like this. Here's what I want." What we don't know is, did God ever check in on the work, you know, show up and say, "Hey, how's it going there, Noah? You know, he's the foreman checking on the plans. You made a mistake over here. I need your crew to go back and redo that, you know, the sea deck. You got a problem on your door." But what if God only really checked in that one time and Noah was faithful for 120 years to carry out the command? Does anybody else look at that and say, "Wow, the faithfulness of a servant of God following through, trusting that what God had said he would bring about"? That's some faithfulness. Verse 2, "Therefore," this is the great thing, "since God is our refuge, since he is our strength," since, not if, right? "But since he is our very present help in trouble, therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth should change, the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride." Selah. Pause and reflect. I use Noah as an example of this because of all the pictures, it's I'm going to stay and trust in God, though the world may be turned upside down, literally. Has anybody else ever seen the fountains of the heavens just pour open? You ever seen like where it's raining on you and it feels like it's literally a bucket dumping? You can say yes, because maybe some of you haven't been in those deluges. I remember being in the tropics and complaining about the rain and they said, "Oh, gringo, you ain't seen nothing." And they said, "No, this ain't rain. This is a sprinkle." And I had never seen rain like that in my life. I thought someone had a hose above my head, and they laughed and said, "Son, you got nothing on us. We know what rain is at the equator." And they were right. But not only that, the fountains of the deep breaking and bursting forth. Could you imagine the world being in complete upheaval to such a point that the entire earth was covered in water? I don't know that. If any other thing, that evokes a picture to me of maybe what Noah might have seen in his time. Not only had he been faithful to build for so long and faithful to get on that ark, trusting God and all those things so much, he also had to trust in God when he was floating around on the water, right? Watching the earth break apart, watching the skies tear themselves open, figuratively. Everything he knows washed away. All of his relationships outside of his wife, his children and their wives, gone. His favorite places, gone. Not many people. Who's ever been through a natural disaster, earthquake, forest fire? Hey, you know, we see that a lot. but to see utter devastation of everything you know, and in fact, everything you don't. And yet, where was his hope? It was in God who promised, and God who is faithful. The God who appeared to him and gave him instructions on what to do, and was faithful after 120 years to bring those animals, wasn't he? He was faithful to close that door. He was faithful to get them through their floating on the sea. Faithful to see them settle down. Faithful to provide for them even afterwards. Noah means rest. How many of us are striving for rest right now? How many of you know that rest doesn't always come when we want it to? Have you ever gotten to that point where you're just crashing and then your kids jump on you and say, "Hey, Dad, you look like you're falling asleep. You okay there?" And you're like, "Oh, you know?" Yes. But of course, we know this is not just a picture of Noah's life or just for our own benefit, but it's a picture as well of God's faithfulness, of bringing us through, because life and the things that are coming aren't going to be easy, are they? The things that we're to prepare for. They say getting old is not for sissies. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Hey. It's amazing the class of some people I talk to who are struggling with real pain, real problems. How about Lee down right now in Lodi going through rehab? I know some people in here know what it's like to break leg bones and a femur up there where it meets your hip, right? Not going to say who, but that stuff, painful. And to walk daily on it and not say a thing. People struggling with cancer, not complaining. There's some classy folks. I know there are. Classier than me. But where is our hope? It's in the eventual rest in our Lord who is going to remove those things from us. The Lord who has promised to be perfectly faithful. Who was faithful to Noah in his day. The one who brought him the strength to swing the hammer. To make sure the nails made it into the right spots. Faithful to bring every single little animal into that boat at just the right time. But I bet you he had to be patient. I've never waited on God for something for 120 years. I have a hard time waiting on a Hot Pocket in the microwave. I don't like waiting on my children at times. Unless I have something else to do, then it's like, take your time, and then you get to work out on something else, write another project. Any of you ever look for delays in something so you can pick up another project and get working on it? Hey, and then also you get frustrated when somebody else is trying to be considerate of you, and so then they jump back in. It's okay, I'm right and I'm ready. It's like, you don't need to be ready right now, you know, because we're trying to get our stuff done. But God knows, doesn't he? He knows right when we need to leave. He knows where every step of your foot needs to be. And his providence sees us through. So that we can say like David, I love you, Lord. O Lord of my strength, the Lord is my rock and my fortress. Remember, my refuge, my place of safety, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. That's a good prayer, isn't it? We want to live that. We want to see it. Because God provides strength. How many of y'all know you ain't breathing just on your own? It's because God said, today you're going to be alive. Today I have plans for you. If you're here, it's because you have a good God who has plans for you. If you're breathing, it's because God has something for you. Not just a chore to do, but a part of his plan for you and for others. You know, isn't that comforting that God has written the names of his children down and they've been preserved in the book of life? Before you knew what your name was and it hit your ears, God had it written down for those who are his. Anybody else glad about that? Amen. Written down in the Lamb's book of life. The Lord's nearness. Even in the midst of what seems to be certain trials and struggles and problems is our blessing. And that's why there's that first point. And if you'd forgive me, I'm just going to keep running off that God is our present provider. God is our present provider, a very present help in a time of need. Did God go away and forget about Noah for the 120 years? No. We serve a God who is not only, he promises a providence, but he's able and faithful to practice it and to be present through all of the situations. And he was faithful. Something also to think about in this, and we all know that of all the purposes that God had in what he does, who does the ark foretell but Jesus? In the same way, humanity had been looking forward. You ever find it interesting that you look at Jesus and the promise of the Messiah, like we talked about, through Eve, going down through this history, this genealogy of people, promising to bring the Christ to earth. And here is a point when we don't know how many people are on the earth that went down to 8 people floating on a boat in the middle of the ocean. And it's the ocean because that's all there was. Wouldn't know there were other oceans or seas. But yet on that, after they got out, we still see the genealogy continue to bring about Jesus. God with us. What does it say in the scripture? But again, it says, when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his Son. Born of a woman, born under the law, right? I even like the NLT, when the right time came. I prefer fullness, actually, but right time sounds good. Right? Because we want the right time for things. In the fullness of time. Israel had been in silence before the birth of Christ for 400 years, waiting for the voice of God to be heard, crying out. He sealed up prophecy. No more prophets in the land until who? John the Baptist would come, wearing his crazy camel hair coat, belt of leather, eating those bugs and honey. I don't mind half of that. The crunchy part is what bothers me, but maybe they go well in the honey. Now, of course, those images evoke a picture of Elijah, also a crazy man of God. And as Jesus said, he was the Elijah to come, if you have faith to receive it. And he says again that this man, he began preaching, make straight the path for the Lord. And we see this thing coming up after so many years. How many people had looked forward to Messiah coming? I think so many of the Jewish people did. Because they had seen so many things. Occupying nations. Injustices from oppressors. Cruel rulers that ruled over them who killed them. Like in the time of the Maccabees. Right now, this is the week of Hanukkah. Anybody else lighting your menorahs and celebrating? I didn't do that this year. I was way off. Celebrating what? But a miracle and a deliverance of God to provide. Because when a foreign ruler had come in and cut off reading the word of God, cut off their practices of circumcision, cut off their worship, and says, nobody can do this under penalty of death. God had a band of guerrilla fighters raise up and drive out the Seleucid Empire. And what did they do? They went in to clean the temple because their leaders had gone and defiled it. The temple of God, right? That was provided to them as a gift. Even back in the day, think about it. David sought to seek. God said, you're not the man to build this temple. Your son will. But did that stop David from preparing and looking forward in hope of what God would do? He gathered material. And he went and got it all so that when his son could be king, he could build it. Right? He had faith looking forward. God said, this is going to be. So I can't do it, but I'll get it ready for you. And then it was brought about. And then it was destroyed. About 500 years before Jesus' time. Destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar and his forces. And then when they were allowed to return, they built a temple, but it did not have the glory of the former. And the people wept because it was not what they had remembered. But God is faithful. God is faithful. He was faithful because even those people in a temple, that was not what they had hoped. They went inside to clean and they only had enough oil for a day, maybe, to burn in that menorah, that lampstand, in the holy place. Remember? They had the lampstand that was there and it would have flutes that were full of oil and it would burn. They said, we only have enough light to last us a day. And how many days did it last? But 8. It lasted until they had just finished. You ever try to do that with the bottle of bleach or cleaner? And you get to the bottom and you're twisting it at different angles, trying to get just a little more out to clean? It's a bad example, but they got the last spray right when the oil ran out, right? And that's one of the miracles they celebrate, is the God's provision of oil. God's provision of delivering them from an oppressor that was so far beyond their ability to fight. But who is faithful? God. Who is our refuge? God. Who is our strength? God. Who is our stronghold? God. If we make those things anything else, we're waiting for disappointment, aren't we? If we trust in our own strength, I will be let down. If you trust in my strength, you'll be let down too. If we trust in other things outside of God, and this is the hope, because even when it seems hopeless, God did not forget his people. Even when it might have seemed hopeless being an occupied nation, God did not forget his people. I want to also look into the same idea, but go into the second point. God is our protective provider. Psalm 46, 4 through 7 says, there's a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations make an uproar. The kingdoms tottered. He raised his voice, and what happened to the earth? Melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Sometimes we don't struggle against natural things in the same way, but against people. Anyone else ever feel like we're in a struggle with people? You know, an interesting thing, looking at this example of how we can trust in God. Think about Esther. I'm sure you guys know the book, you know the story. There have been movies made because it's kind of I wouldn't call it a romantic tale, about a king asking his wife to do something inappropriate and then gets rid of her because she's not willing to do it and disgrace herself. So he goes on the lookout for a new lady. This is not how to start a good Christian movie, right? But God, knowing what's going to happen, brings about the right people at the right time for the right purpose. You guys know how many times it says in the book of Esther, thus saith the Lord, and God is speaking to people? How many times? Zero. You know how many times someone uses the name of God? Zero. Some people used to wonder, why even include this book? Why even put it in? It seems to not talk about God at all. But if you know the story, you know the reason. You see, in the time of the Maccabees, those are people who were the ancestors. They had come from those who came back out of captivity, who had been over there. They knew what it was like in Babylon. They knew what it was like in Persia. And then yet when the king said, you can go back, rebuild your city, rebuild and build your walls. Different decree, but similar idea. And they went back. People came back. But not everybody did they? Some people decided to stay. They said, man, it's looking pretty good for us here in the Persian Empire. And so here at this time, this is Esther's time, for those who had been left or chose to be left behind. Some might think they were unfaithful. They should have returned back to Israel to rebuild the city of God, rebuild the temple. It was thought maybe they stayed because their wealth. They were doing well. Anybody ever stay in a place because you lived there and you were making good money? Don't lie to me. I know a lot of folks stay where their jobs are at, right? Hey, and that's not bad. Sometimes God says, go ahead and stay and work. That's fine. It's not that he always wants to send you to a horrible place. How many times are we worried God is trying to send us to somewhere where he's not going to provide for us? That's not God, right? Oh, Lord, don't send me. Don't make me a missionary. Oh, don't send me. I don't want to be poor. No, God provides. He's faithful. He's good. And he provides no matter where he sends us. He is capable of making it. You know what? Man, sometimes the mail has a hard time finding our house. You know what? God's provision doesn't get lost. The Amazon packages from Jesus arrive on time. Right? Man, I'm waiting for books from Christian book distributors, and I just got to have faith they're going to get here. I'm grumbling to Aubrey, man, come on. I need those books, man. Christmas coming. I got to trust. God knows, and they'll get here when they get here. Right? Amen. So we have to have faith, but God knows where to reach people. And these are all the people, millions, probably, maybe tens of millions, I don't know, in an empire stretching from the eastern Sinai all the way past what we call the Middle East, into even Western Asia. Jewish people settled all over. And we have this situation where a king throws out his wife and looks for a new lady. And then we have the young lady Esther, who by the providence of God is chosen by the king. She also has an uncle, Mordecai, who was vilified by a man named Haman. Haman did not like Mordecai. Mordecai wouldn't bow down to him. Praise God, in our culture, we don't have to do that. Has anybody else demanded you to bow down to him for your job? I've had bosses, but none of them have asked me that yet. But he says, because of this, I'm taking you out. Not only that, I'm going to kill all of you Jews. Can anyone else say genocide? Man, talk about a grudge. I don't like you. I'm taking out your people. So he tricks the king, in a sense, into writing a decree that can't be undone. Mordecai pleads with Esther and says, Esther, you need to go to the king and tell him what's happening. You guys know the story. Going before the king would mean, could be certain death. You appear before him, and I don't care who you are, if he says you're out of order, pretty soon your head's going to be out of order, right? You ain't going to live too long. How many of us want to go bust in, you know? Well, I know he's not doing a lot of work in the White House these days, but busting into the White House, you know, normally we would think we can't do that, right? I've heard people say, well, I'm an American citizen. I have the right to go in and pound on the president's desk, you know, and tell him what for. The Secret Service going to be on you quick, boy. Good luck with that. Well, going in before the emperor of Persia was not a good idea, and you could end up dead no matter who you were, wife or not, family or not. And we know the story that Esther, after many dinner parties and courage, finally begs the king's audience and says, me and my people are at risk of certain death because you, O Lord, by Haman's advice, have written a decree to kill us. What? What are we going to do? Mind you, Haman did. He didn't do so well after that, did he? Haman got his. But then, yeah, hey man. But then looking at what's going to happen next, so the king says, I can't undo what I've written. So they figure out, by the providence of God, to write another law for their own protection, that they might be aware of what's coming and prepare for what's coming. I don't know, guys, but criminals like soft targets. They don't want to go into the person who's standing, you know, you don't want to break into the house with the crazy guy with the bazooka, right? You know, no, they'd skip that house. They were prepared, right? I always liked that. It was a Gary Larson Far Side. He says how nature says don't touch. There's a cat arching its back. There's a pufferfish with spikes on it. And then there's this guy standing in a trench coat, a rubber inner tube and a bazooka with like a boot on his head. Don't touch, right? Boy, sometimes he's got to look, so, you know, what's wrong with that person? Son, they crazy. Sometimes, now I don't mean to make fun of mental illness or situations, but we recognize God prevented genocide in an empire. Now, I'm sure people were praying at this time. I don't know about you, man, but when I hit my thumb with a hammer, I pray. I'm sure people were praying. But sometimes we wonder, does this story, where are the fingerprints of God in it? And you and I would say they're all over it. Even when people may be neglecting God, He is not neglecting His people. Even if we are unfaithful, He is yet faithful to provide, to be faithful to His promises, to be faithful to His children, to bring about what He promises He's going to bring about. And God delivered them. Till today they celebrate it. It's Purim, right? It's a festival. They celebrate it by giving gifts to people and the poor. Look how great this is. I'm not saying it's great to have struggles like that, but God is good. And He prevented what would be certain destruction, even when it seems like He's not present. This is our Lord. This is our God. You know, of all the things we can look at, let me ask you this. Of all the enemies you'll face in your life, and I use enemies loosely, you know that Jesus is going to take care of every single one of them? Can I get an amen on that? Every one of them. Let's just think people. We know flesh and blood we don't war against. But every single person that has come against us to do us harm, there's two things that are going to happen to them, right? Either Jesus changes their hearts, and by repentance and faith, they come to Christ. Our enemies become our brothers and sisters. You're either there, or those who don't, there's judgment. Jesus will deal with everybody, one way or the other. How about sickness and illness? What's going to happen to those things, it says? My enemy, cancer, old age, that gets thrown out. Anybody happy that there'll be a time where God has promised where you're not going to worry about being old and hurting? That's a good sign, right? Everybody seems to picture in heaven all the old saints and, you know, old ladies. Like, I don't know, I think they'll be pretty young and fit. I don't know what those heavenly bodies look like, but I bet they're heavenly. And we see that there's a picture of something where Jesus is going to take care of this. How about death, right? Oh, death, where is your sting? Jesus pulled out its stinger. It no longer, we have to worry about it. Because where does death end up in the end? Death and Hades are cast into the lake of burning fire. There's no more purpose for it. It's gone. Jesus has already robbed death of its power, but soon He will rob it of its existence. Eventually, our Lord Christ will conquer our greatest enemy. And the first time that He came here in the flesh is our incarnation. What did He do but do away with sin? Gave us a way, a victory over sin which nobody could do. Praise Him for it. Christ is our ultimate protector in His providence. Jesus was given to the world that He might be our protector, our protective provider. Praise Him. He's going to take care of every enemy we've ever had. Even when we were His enemies, at enmity with God, Christ died for the ungodly. That's a love. Last point, because I'm preaching too long. Final point. Christ, our peacemaking provider. Our peacemaking provider. What is one of those beautiful names that is spoken of? In fact, I know you know it, but we'll read it. In Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 to 7, it says, "For unto us a child will be born, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on His shoulders." Anybody looking forward to new management? Yeah, amen. That's right. You don't need to elect Jesus. He's already the boss. But it's going to take time to clear out the rest of the riffraff. You know what? And I don't mean to vilify politicians. They do that on their own. No, I'm kidding. But we have our own problems because you know what? That's us. It's just people. Satan manipulating things in the background, for sure. But God also providing in the meantime. I'm looking forward to when that rests there. And it says, "And His name will be called Wonderful Counselor." Wonderful. Mighty God. Eternal Father. And what is it? Prince of Peace. Like Noah, we're looking for the day of rest, but still we hammer away. On the throne of David, there will be no end to the increase of His government or of peace. You catch that "or" part in there? No end to that government or of peace, and on the throne of David and over His kingdom to establish it, uphold it with justice and righteousness. From then on and until the next election cycle, when it goes back the other way, I don't want, right? No, forevermore. Forever. That's a big word that we don't really get, do we? How many of y'all know God is faithful in the intermittent, but He's also faithful in the forever? Forever. No more of this other stuff. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. Folks, He brought the Prince of Peace. He lived, He died, He rose again, and He is alive forevermore, as He told John. Continually making intercession for the saints. He is alive to rule and reign. He is King. He says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. All authority. And so now we wait while we hammer our boats. While it may seem that there are others against us, if God is for us, who can be against us? Nothing can separate us from the love that is in Christ Jesus. Whatever we taste here on earth, the hammered thumbs, the work, the toil, the oppression, the threats. I know that the worst case scenario for me is I go home to be with my Lord who is faithful. Like Paul said, I want to go home, but it's better for you I stay. I don't mean it's better for you that I stick around. That's Paul. He was good. It might be better that I go home for you. I don't know. But he says in his heart, he recognizes that again. He says, if he's not here on this earth, I will be in the presence of God. And I desire that deeply. But for your sake, he desired to be here with them so that he might love them, serve them, preach, pray, teach, continue on with the ministry that God has called him to do. Because why? Because God woke him up to breathe. Hey guys, what's the day of salvation again? Is it yesterday? Oh, it's today! Did you know that? Today's the day of salvation. That's great. Do you know what tomorrow's going to be? If we have it. It'll be the day of salvation again. Put it on your calendar. You know what yesterday was? It was the day of salvation too. God knows how many days there are. Do you and I? Nah. I have a calendar written out for this month. Nothing even happens according to my calendar when I write it out for the day the way I planned it. Nothing. But you know what? God knows what my calendar really is. And He's faithful to accomplish His good will in it. And we are responsible to walk faithfully, trusting in Him. Because He is our peacemaking provider. You guys know it's not peacekeeping, but peacemaking. Peacekeeping, you know, hey, stop that. It's kind of weak. It seems weak. It's not. But peacemaking. What does it say when He comes back? He's going to say, enough. Ain't nobody going to be able to stand up to Jesus. Amen? Nobody. He's still that same Jesus, yesterday, today, and forever. So the Jesus whom nobody can stand up to, that's still Him today. Amen? Amen. But He is waiting for the perfect providence and time to bring His kingdom about in His way. So we can trust that our God is faithful, that He is going to bring about peace that we can't. We're waiting for Noah's rest. And some of us are waiting for Esther's deliverance. But we can trust no matter how bad this gets or how long it seems we wait. Who is present? Jesus. God is present, our ever-present help in time of need. When I whacked my thumb with a hammer this week, God was present to help me with it. That's a mild thing. Didn't feel like it at the time. Boy, you get hit with something, your immediate focus goes right to that ouch. When you were struggling in pain, not able to get out of bed, who is your present help and strength? Jesus. Many of you have more pressing issues than a hammer to the thumb. Jesus is providing, and He has plans for you. In your pain, and what we have to deal with today, and even when it takes 120 years of our labor or 400 years of silence, He is faithful to bring about in the fullness of time, at just the right time, the rain, the door, the animals. He's faithful to bring about deliverance for His people. He's faithful, and He was faithful to bring about the incarnation. God the Son taking on humanity to Himself that He might save the world. And how many of y'all know He'll be faithful to provide and take everything else He said He would do? We're in the middle of the salvation story, not at the end of it. How many times do we think sometimes in our Christianity, well, this is it. We're living the dream. Everything's great. It's good in Jesus, but it ain't what it will be. And we can look forward to that, that the Prince of Peace will rule. He will be our President, our Lord, our King of eternity, our Savior forever, our Lord, King of kings and Lord of lords. He'll even have special clothes, right? Written on his thigh. Anybody ever wonder how that's really going to look? Was it only kind of a vision thing of John, or is Jesus going to have custom-made, tailored stuff? You know, and he's going to have King of Kings, Lord of Lords written down here? I don't know. But either way, we recognize it's written on there because it's true. We can trust in him. No matter who is sitting in our Oval Office or not, we can trust in Jesus. No matter what nation is threatening our hold on the world, we can trust in Jesus. No matter what comes, he is faithful. We can trust in his perfect providence and learn to be patient while waiting for his rest. It's in Jesus where we can find rest. No place else. Nothing delivers like him. Let's pray. Father, I want to ask your blessing on all of us, please. May your Spirit take the words that were spoken today and the words you've talked to people in our hearts, I pray, God, and make them concrete, the ones that are true from you. Lord, the jesting or joking things I've spoken that are not fruitful, I'd ask you to forgive me if they were not of you, and that you would also please remove them from our minds so that we would only focus on what your Spirit is saying to us and the truth of your word as it stands. Your word is good, and you are perfectly faithful to do everything you've said. You've proven it. I think in all of our lives we've seen it. Help us to grab onto that faith and to hold on to hope, which as a brother shared with me this morning, not knowing that it was the crux of the message, that hope is not a wish or a desire, but it is indeed an assurity of what will come. We trust you that you're going to do these things. Help us to be faithful to work this day and every day you give us, that we recognize it is for your salvation, to be sharing you, to be working for you, to be obedient and lovingly walking with you, even in the midst of labor and toil and struggle and pain. I'd ask you, Lord God, may you be glorified in this service and all of the life that is produced from it, I pray. Bless these homes. May your work go forward from them. And we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.